This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Liam Maitland, KCBS Foodie Chap, with Bob Bialy. We are in Napa Valley. We're in the southern end. It's cooler here. Bialy Vineyards. Bob, great to see you, my friend.
Good.
Cheers.
Yes, buddy.
My favorite sound. Second favorite sound.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. There is a gift from the gods right there. Let's kick off. Bob, what are we drinking?
We are drinking the Clementina, named after my dear mother. It's a Greco Bianco, originally from Greece, and moved to Campania, southern Italy, in the 1600s, and found its way to Napa Valley. And
thank goodness.
Exactly,
thank you.
Right?
Grazie mille. No, that's Italian. How do the Greeks say thank you?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, put you on the spot.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, right. That is.
Let's go with thank you, right?
Yeah, right. Let's do that. Yeah, so we got cuttings from Steve Mathias in St. Helena, and we are, I believe, the only ones bottling it as a pure varietal, single vineyard pure varietal, right here at the winery. Just, you know, 200 or 300 cases, and it's just a lovely little beginner. Right,
right. It's a great beginner. Warmed me up for sure.
Yeah.
Set the scene for us, Bob. Bialy Vineyards, where are we exactly? Who are your neighbors around here?
Yeah, the neighbors are all sweet. We're an hour north of the Golden Gate Bridge, and so it's the cooler end of Napa Valley. You know, Napa is kind of a big name, but it's a small place. It's 5x30. We're in the Oak Knoll District. It's where my grandfather actually landed in the 30s. In the 20s. He planted his vineyard in the 30s, and you know, he could have landed anywhere, but he landed in Napa Valley, and that's where he started planting Zinfandel, and that's where we remained. So we're pretty grateful. Zinfandel first started here in the 1850s, and so they knew back then that this variety would do well.
Yeah, because a lot of other Napa growers, they left Zin and many other grapes behind, and they went the way of the Cabernet train. But you guys stayed true. You stuck with what worked, right? Why Zin?
Part of what you just said, it works, right? It worked very, very well. As a matter of fact, Petit Sirah and Zinfandel were the most widely planted in Napa Valley until 1970. And then the Judgment of Paris tasting, you know, 1976, the Americans went off, went against the French. We were chasing the French,
sure.
Right? Everyone was.
Yeah, and nobody had ever beaten the French before, not at their game.
No.
Not at this game.
No, and then Napa Valley really turned the tables on them and won both categories of Chardonnay and Cabernet. And at the time, it really gave the wineries the confidence, again, the confidence to say, oh, we can actually do this. Yeah. You know, we can turn this into something. And they started paying their growers quite a bit of money, because my father really wasn't making a living at the time, as much as he was farming, right? He was farming, yeah, but not really making much of a living at it. And just like many others in Napa. And so the winery started paying growers quite a bit of money to convert these beautiful old Petit Sirah and Zinfandel vineyards, yeah, to the new vision, you know, of Cabernet, Bordeaux and Burgundy, yeah, varieties. And very successfully they did that. And now Napa is what it is. Yeah. It's, you know, they do it very, very well. But my father, among others, he just embraced Zinfandel, mm-hmm, in particular. He loved the grape.
Yeah.
And he goes, look, if you don't want to buy it, I'll find somebody else.
Why does Zin do well here? Why does it thrive here? What's great about, you know, the terroir, the soil, the environment, the weather, all those things?
Yeah. Well, so Zin does well in many different areas. What it does really well here is that part of it is that it's cooler, it's well drained, it's alluvial, because we're kind of in the middle of the valley. So over millennia, all these beautiful soils and nutrients come rushing off the mountains and deposit here. Yeah. And so that's what we're picking up here. And so we have great great acidity.
Yeah.
Along with the great nutrients, because we're only an hour from the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
So we have this natural air conditioning that comes up here.
I'm feeling it right now. And when it gets hot on the floor, mm-hmm, it gets hot. But here, southern end.
Yeah, it's, you know, but want to preface it, this isn't Alaska, right? Yeah. It's not the Arctic. It does get...
Love my Alaskan friends, but thank goodness.
You know, we do get our weather here, but it cools down at night beautifully, and we can all sleep well, and the grapes like that. They like to sleep well, too. Yeah.
They like it cool.
They like it cool.
They like the AC.
They do.
We talked Zin. Let's go to the Zin, shall we?
Okay,
Talk us through it. What do we have right here?
Well, The first one is the very first wine that that we bottled in 1991. We named it Aldo's Vineyard, Aldo after my father. Yeah. He's the one who kept it in the ground all these years. Planted in 1937. It's only like a mile and a half from here, and it's a field blend. You know, it has mixed black varieties in it. There's nine different things going on in here, and that was not uncommon. It was a common farming culture at the time to plant other varieties, you know. It was almost like the growers were like making the blend for the winery.
Mm-hmm.
Modern farming and winemaking is different.
Yeah.
You know, the winery is all in control and whatnot, and all these blocks are single varietal. But at that time, it was much different. And so we have this really beautiful, elegant, but complex wine.
Sticking my nose in here, folks. Yeah. Sniff along with me at home. My gosh, that's a noseful. Here we go. Salut. There's that sound.
Oh my gosh. I grew up with this flavor. You know,
is yummy.
This wine here, I absolutely love it.
Does it take you back? Do you have?
It does.
Because that is wine is memories.
Yeah.
So growing up here and growing up as part of a wine growing family, are there certain wines more than others that you taste and that take you back, give you a sense of time, place?
Well, this one in particular for me, right? I grew up in this vineyard and I worked very hard in it, still do. But, you know, when you're growing up, it's like, you know, it's like little Clayton here. It's like, you know, you're working hard.
We have a junior reporter in the wings who's listening here, and Clayton also growing up in a winemaking family. So what are your memories, Bob? Like, when you think, go back, and maybe you as Clayton's age, being a young kid in the vineyard, when you go back there, of course, you know, a lot of it seems like work. But what are your happiest, most fondest memories of being in the vineyards as a kid?
I think the fondest things were my dad giving us some serious responsibility. And I have to admit, and he was doing it because he just needed doggone help, of course, you know. But, you know,
cheap labor.
Exactly.
Sorry, affordable. We don't use the cheap word.
Right. But, you know, jumping on tractors when you're a kid, I mean, very young, and acting like adults and whatnot, and doing some serious work, it kind of builds your confidence, yeah. You know, as a young man, young boy, really.
I know Clayton's been on a tractor. Clayton, come in here. Let's ask you a little question here. I'm going to ask you a question. So talk to us about being on a tractor, you know, with your dad. Is that fun? Is that the most fun of all the things you do when you're among the vines?
Maybe one of them. Another one is just driving around, having some fun, mostly that. But driving on the tractor is fun.
Yeah. What else? What else do you love to do when you're at the winery? Do you like crush? Do you like the crush time?
Yes, I do really like to step on the grapes.
Do you have memories of that as well? Do you have memories of that as well, Bob?
Well, yes. Now, my dad, I guess we're moving into the next wine in a way. My dad was making homemade wine starting in 1942.
Right there in the middle of the Second World War.
Exactly right. And his father, so my dad was 13 years old, and his father accidentally perished at a rock quarry.
Yeah.
So it was pretty tragic, right, for the family. It was a big deal. So anyway, my dad, he's the following year, so he kind of, you know, like steps up and he goes, doggone, Mom, we got to start making, you know, extra money here.
Yeah.
We're just not, it's just not working. And so they had hundreds of chickens, and they were selling eggs and, you know, chickens, and they had this little vineyard, and they were selling the grapes. And later I found out that he was selling it for like $25 a ton. And he goes, you know, even then in 1942.
Sorry, $25 a ton.
Yeah.
I know it's a different time, different period, but you just hear that, you're like, what?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So he says, even then, $25 a ton just wasn't happening. It just wasn't making ends meet. And he kind of like turns to his mom and he goes, let's just make wine and sell it. You know, let's not worry about the license or permit. You know, heck, we're Italians, right?
It's what we do. It's what we do.
Exactly.
We're going to put food on the table, so let's sell the wine to put food on the table. Why
exactly.
not?
Exactly. You know? And so that's what they did. And he sold it for $1 a gallon. And he figured out that, you know, you press grapes off at about 150 gallons a ton.
Yeah.
And he figured out that now I'm making $150 a ton compared to $25 a ton. And so he's like 14. He figures this out.
And that's a wild thing. 14 years old.
14 years old. I mean, I want to, like, emphasize that. You know, what's your 14-year-old doing?
Yeah. You know? Don't ask me what I was doing when I was 14. Yeah.
All right. And so that's what they did. And in order to kind of get around this whole bootlegging thing, people would call in on a party line phone system. You know, party line, you pick it up. It's, you know, it's public.
Yeah.
And they go, hey, Aldo, I need 3 dozen eggs and a black chicken.
Oh,
it was
gosh.
His code word for a jug of Zin.
Yeah.
And he thought it was kind of clever because they didn't have any black chickens in the yard. They just had white leghorns.
Yeah.
And he goes, Mom, let's just call it black and let's just do it.
Yeah. Wild. And of course, I love that, you know, because there's a story here. And it's your father's legacy. It's your family's legacy. Black chicken is a wine, and you've kept that as part of the Bialy Vineyard story. So tell me about that first black chicken wine. What do you know of it, that first jug that he made?
Well, made differently than we do it today.
Yeah, just a bit.
Just a bit. But in 2009, we replicated his, like, original recipe, if you want to say it. Turned out to be his very last harvest, October 2009. We didn't know it, of course, but the winemaker at the time, Steve Hall, he turns to my dad and goes, Aldo, let's do it this year. Let's make your wine. And what
how
it
beautiful.
Is.
How poetic, really, it, when you think about
you know,
it, right?
It was God sent. It was grace, you know? And so he explained what he did, which was, it was full stems, you know, no destemming. They just had a little crusher at the time, or stomping, you know? And so that in itself, if you're not going to destem grapes, turns the wine into a much different, that along with no additives, period. I mean, pure as God, right?
Yeah,
pure as.
Oh, yeah.
And And honestly, it was so simple. I mean, I can't emphasize that enough. It was just so simple.
But people bought it, right?
They loved it. He did very well. He did it for 20 years, as a matter of fact. So it must have been pretty good.
Yeah.
And it was very simply made.
Yeah.
They just had sulfur sticks. That was the only thing they did, and that was just to really kind of purify the barrel itself. And a little residual goes into the wine, but very, very little.
So let's go back then, 2009. Black chicken, first year you make it. Did your dad get to enjoy it? Did that ever happen?
He tasted it out of tank.
Yeah.
It had just gone to barrel, and he tasted it from barrel, and then that was it.
Do you recall the reaction? Was there anyone recording the reaction at the moment?
Should have had you here, Lee.
But just to observe. I mean,
his eyes lit up and all of that. He just absolutely loved it. Kind of brought him back, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, because we were using the same vineyard.
Sure.
So we did use the same vineyard. And so,
a full circle moment, right?
It was.
Almost like a coming home moment.
Yeah.
Even at this time in his life.
We should have recorded it with the little phone.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. If only Steve Jobs had got the iPhone and we had it in hand. So talk us through then the black chicken here in Napa Valley.
So we're kind of sitting in among the vineyards here. It's an estate fruit wine, plus some neighboring vineyards here. But it's really all of our fruit goes into this, and it's again, it's part of a field blend. It's mostly Zinfandel, of course, obviously. Oh, there's that sound again, man! Oh man,
the best. Here we go. Joy of joys, my gosh. That truly is a gift from the gods. Black chicken, the Zen. That's perfection right there. Talk me through the fruits. What's in here?
Well, Southern Napa Valley, it has these dark cherry, kind of Bing cherry, but also these brighter ones with strawberry, some pomegranate. Our style, which kind of elevates a lot of these things, is to kind of keep them young and fresh, kind of keep it fresh. We try not to go over the top.
Yeah.
I'm using these terms without people probably understanding it, but we try to pick at the peak of flavor, as we like to say, without really going up into too high of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And now Zinfandel, in my opinion, does have to kind of reach, reach 14.
Sure.
But these are kind of moderate for Napa Valley reds, right? And they remain fresh and vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
We really like to attain and retain, the acidity, the freshness that this has.
Mm-hmm.
And if you leave it out in the vineyard too long, a lot of that starts to dissipate and kind of get muddled. And we like to, So it's like it stands up.
Just like a black chicken. It stands up.
Well said. Well
but there's an elegance to it that maybe a black chicken does not have.
There's some grace.
You know, black chickens walk with grace. But there's elegance here in this glass.
Thank you for recognizing that. Yeah. It's our little hallmark. We like to say that they're very complex but light on their feet kind of thing, and they're elegant. Just full of flavor. You know, it's that right balance of like pleasure balance.
Yes.
You know, not too little, not too big. It's just we ride that line really carefully.
And the great thing about I think a Zin in this, the black chicken, but most Zins, I mean, in their youth, they're beautiful, but also you can lay them down for a little bit if you want to as well.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, interesting you said that. Last night we had a big old 90th birthday party here for a dear, dear friend, and we opened up some older wines, of course, and we had an 05, an 09, and a 13, which is not
nice.
Old, but I'm telling you, these wines were in great shape, really good shape. Now, one, of course, has to really appreciate older wines as they travel in that direction. But if one does, these are beautiful wines.
So, Bob, tonight, if we were to cook together, head into the kitchen, maybe with Clayton as our sous chef, and we were pairing the food with the black chicken Zin from right here, Bialy Vineyards, Robert Bialy Vineyards, what would we be cooking? What would we be making to go with the black chicken zin?
Yeah, you know, with black chicken, it's not unusual for zin in general, but black chicken really does work with lamb really well. And with maybe sitting on a bed of risotto, you know, with a little bit of, you know, if they have porcini, fantastic, you know.
Sure.
And kind of keeping it a little simple, you know, a nice reduction of some sauce. You can make it from the wine itself. And it would be just enough right there. Mm.
You know, if it was a winter's night, I'd be in the kitchen with you making my mum's shepherd's pie with lamb, maybe some porcini mushrooms in there as well, with some buttery, fluffy mashed potatoes on top.
That
would go really well here. Now, there is a black chicken on property, a physical black chicken.
She's lonely at the time, and I really need to get her some friends. we do have one in there. Even though my father never had a black chicken on the ranch, but it seems like these days we need to have some here at the winery.
It's befitting, right?
It is.
We're going to have our junior reporter hop in with a question in just a sec here. Before Clayton does, Bob, I'm just curious to talk about some upcoming events. Joyfully, your events sell out because you have faithful wine followers who are part of your wine club, which I love the name of.
Right. My business partner, Dave Pramit, came up with the name at the time. He's retired now, but he came up with Black Chicken Society. And so we call it BCS, right?
Yeah.
And I just thought it was brilliant. And it just caught on. And it's a very, very good wine club. And Dave also started what we call now the Bialy Bulletin. So if people
read all about it,
it's really true. He did a fabulous job, and I like to think that we're doing a good job now also with it. And it's where people can keep up with our news and whatnot, and try to get on to these events. They do sell. I mean, so the 24 events are sold out.
Let's just share, folks, give them an idea. If you become a wine club member, if you can't get a ticket this year, maybe think about next year. But the first event coming up, paella. Who does not love paella?
Right. So that in a couple weeks, July 23rd, we have 20th, we have the paella summer dinner, and then in October we have, like many wineries in Napa Valley, we have our harvest dinner, October 19th, and then we have something called Zinner Dinner.
I love the plain words. Why not? You got to. Or as I like to say, win a winner, Zinner Dinner, you know.
That's right. And that's in November 16th. And those are lovely, absolutely stunning events. And so they do go quickly. But we really welcome new members and new folks coming to the winery.
I mean, it's such a bucolic setting. I mean, it's so beautiful. It really is. And if people come here, they get to have a tasting experience. What other kinds of experience can wine members have if they come and they're part of the club? What are the experiences offered here?
Well, we have various levels of tastings that they can do, including, you know, barrel tastings and vineyard tours. And not only here, I mean, if one is really, really interested, we could take them to some of the vineyards that we source and whatnot.
Yeah.
Of course, the dinners and the different events. So we have these appreciation weeks and appreciation member days when they come and pick up their wines.
Yeah.
There's lots of food, lots of music at these types of, you know, more public events, if you know what I mean.
And it's a community you have created.
Yes.
How wonderful is that to see everyone swirling your wine, your family wine, you know, to be drinking the vino named in honor of your father, Aldo. It's got to be a beautiful thing. There has to be some sweet moments where you get to sit back as a family and go, okay, yeah, Dad, you did us right.
You know, thanks for bringing that up also, because really, honestly, what we're doing is living out my dad's dream, Aldo's dream, because it had always been his dream to go to the next level. And, you know, it's hard when you're trying to raise a family, you're just trying to make things ends meet and everything, you're kind of like, you know, just pushing it all the time.
Yeah.
And he was always hoping that, you know, one of his children would, like, have the same dream. And I did, you know. And so together we moved this forward. And I'm so grateful that I was born into a place that my grandfather landed in Napa Valley.
Yeah.
And it's kind of as simple as that. And my brother now is a partner in the business, in the vineyard end of the business, Mark.
Yeah.
And And, you know, together we make it all work.
A family affair. You know, we have a junior reporter here. Come on in the middle here. Okay. This is Clayton. And Clayton's got a question here. Clayton's dad, Jamie. Jamie Kirch makes amazing wines. Before you ask your question, Clayton, tell Bob about your dad's wine. What's he most famous for? What kind of wine?
His Pinot. And
yeah, have you had any yet?
Yes, and the Chardonnay.
See, Bob. Chardonnay. Bob knows just as much.
Yeah.
Wait, this is your turn. Your turn. So, all right, Clayton. Here we go. Mom Christian's rolling on the video. And this is, if you've just joined in, I'm Liam Maitland, KCBS Foodie Chap, talking to Bob Bialy here, Robert Bialy Vineyards here in Napa, and my junior reporter with me here, Clayton, who has a question for Bob. Here we go.
All right, so, in your opinion, what do you think are the pros and cons of making Zinfandel?
Ooh, that's a good question. The pros, I would say, pure pleasure, right? I think there's very few varietals that give this expression of real richness in the wine, yet beautiful, elegant acidity, and that there's just you know, there's a real pleasure balance in there. So that's the pro, right? Oh, and another pro is that these vines, they have a propensity to live very long, more so than some other varieties. It's just a genetic thing. And so we get to make wines from vineyards that are often over 100 years old. And so we're like diving back into history and into culture that we're touching with our wine. And okay, so I really speaks to me. I love it. One of the harder things about Zin, it's not the easiest wine to make. It's almost like Pinot. Oh. Pinot is very, very delicate. It's thin-skinned, and there's all kinds of issues that can go wrong with it in the vineyard, like you know.
Yeah.
Just stuff, right? Well, those same things happen to Zin, and sometimes it gets a little frustrating, I have to admit. Especially, we're organic, and so organic sometimes, you know, just has its little issues. So we dance around it. We try, you know, we have to dance around that.
Would it be naughty to refer to it as a bit of a precious grape? A little precious?
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Yes, it is. It's a little precious.
A little precious, yeah. Yeah.
And so that gets a little frustrating. It's a delicacy in the vineyard. And sometimes, well, whatever. You know, the end result, though, is, you know, we have this huge sorting table. We can do whatever we need to. And the end result, though, is just pure joy, just like a beautiful bottle of your dad's wine.
Wow, did that answer your question, Clayton?
Yes, very much.
Any follow-up to that? Was that a complete answer?
That was pretty good.
Well done, Bob. You passed the test.
Well, thank you.
Is he good in his job for another year? Can he go? Yes?
Oh, definitely.
You passed the test. Okay.
Maybe two?
Yeah. If you were to ask Bob one more question, what else would you like to ask him? Is there anything else you'd like to know about his wine? How about when can you drink? He's 9 years old.
Nine. Hey, I started way before you.
Well, we can't talk about he may have tasted some wine too.
All right. Okay. Very good. It's okay to drink a little. It's okay.
Yeah. So, Bob, what about a little advice for Clayton as a young man who's growing up in the wine industry? What do you say to him as he looks to his future in wine? What sort of guidance did you give your family? I know you have a son who's gone on his own path. So what advice for Clayton who's part of a winemaking family?
Right. You know, like all industries, things evolve, right? And doing one thing the way you're growing up right now, and it's in your head, this is the way we're doing it, and this is the way we're always going to do it. Sometimes you need to be open. And sometimes that was hard for me. You know, it's like, we've been doing this for a long time, and it's working really well. Why do we need to change it? And so that, as you move forward in your career, keep a very, very open mind, because the industry does evolve, and it evolves in many different directions. And so you choose the direction you're going to move into, and it could be a much better one than you realize. But you have to be open. And it took me a while. It took me a little longer than I should have.
That's some great advice, right? I didn't give Bob a little high five there, Clayton. There we go. This is really cool. Well done, Clayton. Have a seat right there. I mean, Bob, how cool. I mean, we mentioned your son, and he's gone off, and we went out into the world, did his own thing. And you did give him some advice, didn't you, about going off and venturing into the world?
Yeah, well, you know, my dad did the same thing for me, in the sense that he didn't say, Bob, this is what we're going to do with our life. Yeah. You know, just what, and he didn't say that. Yeah. He had wished it and hoped it. But he allowed me to go off and do my thing, and I eventually came back. It was like 14 years, and because I kind of woke up, you know, it's like, oh, my dad has a vineyard in Napa Valley, you know?
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Where do I want to be in life?
Right. And so the same thing with my kids, and my son in particular has a great desire. He grew up in the vineyard, and we did have a little rule in the sense that, you know, don't come back for 5 years.
Yeah.
It's been, you know, like I said, 14 now, yeah. But, you know, and the idea was that, you know, go out and learn how to work for somebody else, you know. Enjoy the world, and if you're going to come back, bring a skill back that we don't have.
Sure.
And so that's what he got busy doing, and now he's, like, all in what he's doing.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And so we have to, like, now wait our time until he's ready to come back. But at least he comes back on his own terms.
Yeah.
And so he won't feel any regret, and that's very important in any aspect of life. No, you know, like, he's not forced or whatnot.
Yeah. No one ever wants to feel that they have to.
Yeah.
They've got the family handcuffs on. They've got to do what, you know, mom, dad,
right.
grandparents, great, you know, did. So they can choose.
Yeah, and you know, they have a great desire to raise their family here.
Yeah.
So it's not the end of the world.
It's a sweet place to raise a family.
Yeah, it's not so bad.
Bob, what an absolute treat to sit with you and hear your family story. As we close out here, two last questions. Let's talk about mom and dad. If mom and dad were observing all that this winery has become, what do you think they would make of it? What do you think your parents would, if they sat across the table, what might they say? What might you hope they would say?
Oh, those are big things.
Yeah.
Well, I know they were very proud because they did see a lot of it. And my grandmother, too. My grandmother, my father's mother, she was 103. She passed in 99. And
she was a fighter, right?
She was a
103,
fighter.
And all that she saw.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
you know.
Right. So she was very, very proud to see the evolution. And the winery wasn't quite built, but she was very proud to taste the new wine. Let's say that, the new wine.
Yeah.
And my parents are like you know, like all Italians, I think. They're very, very proud of their heritage.
Yeah.
And so I know for a fact they were very proud that we're keeping a very important part of their heritage moving forward. And I know they would say thank you. We did it together. And I think we're doing it gracefully with the team that we have. And not only my parents, I have to, you know, I never met my grandfather. And I think that he, not just think, I know that he would be very proud of what we've been able to accomplish in a very graceful way.
Yeah.
You know, it's, he would recognize this company. I really believe that.
And the fact is, those who've left before us, we are of them. And, you know, there are parts of your grandfather in you, and your grandmother, your obviously your parents. I mean, even when those we loved who they're not around us, maybe they passed before we got to meet them, but they're still a part of you, right?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I believe in all that.
and so
it's not a big stretch for me to feel that every day. Yeah.
Last word for those who've never been to Robert Bialy Vineyards, why should they come?
Because they're really going to enjoy it. I mean, you know, the team we have make people feel it. So this is a gift that these people have that we have. Our team really allows people to feel so comfortable, so at home, that every moment is just really cherished here. And I honestly can't say it any differently or better. And for those that haven't really experienced Zinfandel at this level, it's unlike Zinfandel that they may have had.
Yeah.
And so to be open-minded if they about the variety, for example?
Well, usually I say, sometimes I'll say a wine is a party on the palate, but I'm going to say this Zin, the black chicken, the last one we tasted, is an elegant dance on the palate. Friends, do yourself a favor. And it's precious. It really is. To you, my friend, Bob, Bialy, your family,
you.
Those before you, you. Who led us to this abundant moment. Friends, do yourself a favor. Visit the website, our website. We'll hook you up with Robert Bialy Vineyards. Become a wine club member. Be part of the Black Chicken Society. You'll be jolly glad you are. More on the Robert Bialy Vineyard story at kcbsradio.com and click on Foodie Chap. Cheers, Bob.
Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead. Be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.